You're listening to the radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Acts. And now here's Pastor Sandy with his continuing study in the book of Acts chapter 15 with this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
The Old Testament predicted that God would desire to save all men, including Gentiles. And what was happening at the time in the church among the Gentiles was in harmony with God's eternal plan. Here's what was going on in the council as they were discussing this issue. Peter had recalled the past. Paul was recounting the present. Now James mentions a prophecy. When God's word and God's works line up, when the past, when the present, and when the prophecy all align, you can be sure that you're witnessing the hand of God at work. What bothered the Judaizers was certainly no bother to God. Now, Peter and Paul, they wanted to shut the mouth of these Judaizers. But James had a little different motivation. He wanted to open their eyes. You see, James wasn't just trying to win an argument. His goal was to win a brother. Have you ever discovered that's true? You know, you can argue with somebody. You maybe can win the argument, but you'll alienate that person you're arguing with. That wasn't James's desire. He wanted to win the Jews, not just win the argument. Yes, we're reconciled to God by faith, but the gospel also seeks to reconcile us to one another. In other words, Jews and Gentiles should be one in Christ. Now, James had empathy for the Jews. He understood their loyalty to the law. In fact, in his letter, the Epistle of James, James refers to the law 10 different times in that letter. And he knew firsthand how difficult it was for an Orthodox Jew to transition from a legalistic life to a life of grace. Remember now, this was before the books of Romans and Galatians and Hebrews had been written. I mean, relating to God by grace was new to these Jews. It was clear to James and the Council of Jerusalem that God was forging ahead in a new direction. But James wanted to take his Jewish brethren with him rather than leave them behind. And so he makes a suggestion. Verse 19. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every synagogue, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Here's what James is doing. He's wanting to ease the Jews into grace. He insists that the Gentiles maintain their freedom from the law. But why offend the Jewish brothers unnecessarily? And so he offers this suggestion. Ask the Gentiles to limit their freedom for a time until the Jews can catch up. Understand? Dwight Eisenhower once called the art of compromise the ability to employ all the usable surface. I like that. The ability to employ all the usable surface. He said the extremes, right or left, are in the gutters. Understand where I'm going. If James had sided with the legalistic Jews with no truth for the Gentiles, he would have been in the right-hand gutter. On the other hand, if he had sided with the Gentiles without any sensitivity toward the Jews, he would have been in the left-hand gutter. Instead, James finds some usable surface. He stands in the middle, so to speak. He stands for truth and love for both groups. He finds some usable surface where he can both support the Gentiles and at the same time encourage the Jews. You see, the code of Moses consisted of 613 laws. James says, let's free you from the law. Let's whittle that 613 laws down, but let's still keep four laws just out of respect for the Jews until they can understand grace, until they can understand this business of being free from the law. And he keeps four laws, four prohibitions that were of particular importance to the Jews. He forbids meat sacrificed to idols, sexual immorality, meat not properly prepared or properly strangled, and drinking blood. These were things that were so distasteful to the Jews, it would offend them if they saw Gentiles participating. Now later in the New Testament, once the Jews have had an opportunity to grow in grace, Paul will even remove these last four sanctions. Of course, no sexual immorality is always enforced, not because of law, but because of love. If you love someone, you're going to support their morality and hopefully keep them pure before God, in the eyes of God. And so, he takes the law. You're free from the law. 613 laws. We're going to throw out 609 right here and now. But we're going to keep four in place for a time until the Jews can get used to living by grace. That's what he's saying. Verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Now here's an irony. The name Barsabbas, it means son of the Sabbath. And so here the son of the Sabbath goes with Paul and Barnabas to Antioch to free the Gentiles from the burden of the Sabbath rules. That's ironic. And they wrote this letter by them. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. And how sweet the sound of that to start with. The Jews were calling the Gentiles brothers. They'd come a long way. Since we have heard that some of you went out from us, have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. And here's the verdict that we've reached. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell. This was the official document that came out of the First Church Council. Leaders in Jerusalem, they recognized that in Christ, God does free us from the demands of the law. And by showing some sensitivity, they hoped that as many Jews as possible would follow the Gentiles into this liberty that has been paid for by Christ Jesus. They didn't just ignore the Jews. They wanted to bring them along with them. They didn't want to just win an argument. They wanted to win a brother. Once there was a millionaire. He was explaining his financial success to a young protege. He said, son, I started out by buying an apple for a nickel. I brought that apple home and I shined and polished that apple until it was brilliant red. The next day I sold it for a dime. And then I took that dime and I bought me two apples. I shined them and I sold them for 20 cents. Then I took that 20 cents and I bought four apples. And I turned that four apples into eight apples. And that eight apples into 16 apples, and that 16 into 32 apples, and I sold them, and I made $3.20. And at that point, my father-in-law died and left me $10 million. You see, as a child of God, we have been blessed with tremendous spiritual blessings. But our windfall had nothing to do with our buying and our shining and our cleaning and our polishing. It's not our cleverness that procures God's blessing. We are rich, my friend, because somebody died. Jesus paid for God's incredible mercies. And as the Gentiles learned and as the church confirmed, we receive it all through grace by faith. Verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. I mean, Antioch was a pretty cool church. Silas just wanted to hang out for a while. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. The word translated determined is a Greek word. It means to keep on insisting. Apparently Barnabas was adamant. For him, Mark's presence on this next trip was non-negotiable. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Remember what happened last week. Paul and Barnabas left Cyprus, and they sailed northward toward the Turkish coast. But that's when Mark bailed. He quit. He went home. He proved chicken before they got to Turkey. Now Barnabas, the son of consolation, he wants to console and encourage and give his young nephew a second chance. Paul, on the other hand, he sees the work as far too important to take a chance on a boy who's already proven he's not up for the challenge. You know, when you're in a battle, you've got to make sure that you trust the men in your platoon. And Paul no longer trusted John Mark. And so, the contention between them became so sharp that they parted from one another, and we gasp. Oh no! These men are apostles! They're founders of the church! And yet you tell me they argued so violently they couldn't get along and they ended up splitting ranks? Well, it happened even in the early church. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now here are two men of tremendous spiritual stature. In fact, they have just solved a major crisis in the church at large. I mean, they averted a colossal bust-up between Jew and Gentiles. But now, just a few days later, they get so mad at each other that they can't decide to work together any longer. And they go their separate ways. What's with this? You know, it proves that even apostles are subject to anger and pride and friction. Mark may have been a chicken, but I think both Paul and Barnabas were turkeys. They should have gotten along. Sure, they should have, but they didn't. And yet here is an amazing truth. Though they were human and sinful and stubborn, God still used them both. Warren Wiersbe states the obvious. He says, if God had to depend on perfect people to accomplish His work, He would never get anything done. Don't you know it? God actually used man's obstinacy for God's glory. Instead of one team now doing missions among the Gentiles, there are two teams. The division doubled the effort. It's amazing that years later, Paul will write to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, and he'll tell Timothy, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Isn't that amazing? Paul's attitude toward Mark eventually changed. Perhaps his time with Barnabas helped him grow through Acts. Though Acts tracks only Paul and Silas, it seems that God did bless both teams. He certainly continued to bless Paul in chapter 16. Verse 1. Well, then he came to Derbe and Lystra. Now, you remember on Paul's first missionary journey, he sailed to Galatia. This time, he and Silas, they come overland. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. You remember his mother's name? It was Eunice. And he even had a grandmother. You remember her name? It was Lois. 2 Timothy 3 verse 10 describes the impact that Paul had on Timothy while in Lystra. He says, "You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Lystra." You remember, Timothy was there when Paul was stoned at Lystra. He saw Paul's determination in the face of persecution. He saw Paul's example, and it led to his faith in Christ. In fact, six times in the New Testament, Paul calls Timothy my son in the faith. They had a special relationship. You know, I believe that every believer needs to be someone's Paul and someone's Timothy. We need to be mentored by an older, wiser Christian. We need a Paul in our lives. But then we also need to take a younger believer under our wing and invest in them. We need a Timothy in our lives. Let me ask you, who is your Paul? Who is your Timothy? There needs to be one of both. Now, verse 2, Timothy was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Now, wait a minute. Circumcised him? I mean, Paul just fought tooth and nail in Jerusalem to keep the Gentiles from having to be circumcised. Why is he now clipping poor Timothy? Remember Paul's strategy. Whenever he entered a city, where did he go first? He always went to the Jews. He always went to the Jewish synagogue. Then, after ministering to the Jews, he went to the Gentiles. Here's the problem. If Timothy's going to go with Paul, and if he wasn't circumcised, he wouldn't be able to accompany Paul into the Jewish synagogues. You see, this had nothing to do with righteousness, but this did have something to do with effectiveness in ministry. You know, oftentimes in ministry, we have to forego a freedom for love's sake, for the gospel's sake. I mean, we don't want someone to stumble. So as a Christian, we may have to lay aside a right or lay aside a freedom. As a Christian, I'm free to sit up here and teach this Bible study and smoke a big old fat cigar while I'm doing it. I'm free to do that. But if I did, it'd probably come across a little awkward, wouldn't it? Be kind of hard listening to a Bible study and seeing somebody blow these big old cigar rings out of his mouth. You know what? I'm happy to forego that liberty in order to minister through the Word of God. I'm happy to do that. And I think this is the maturity that's needed in a leader. He or she is willing to put aside their own freedoms in order to spread the gospel, in order to love God's people. Notice verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. And so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, Jesus said, go into all the world. But the Holy Spirit tells us where in the world to go. Paul now is traveling west. He turns south to Asia. He's traveling west. He turns south toward Asia. The Holy Spirit says no. He turns north toward Bithynia. Again, the Holy Spirit says no. So he continues westward. See, we need to be as quick to obey God's no's as we are his go's. When the Spirit puts a check in our hearts, it's best to wait. Or maybe move in another direction. Here's the worst thing you can do. Try to knock down a door that God's Spirit has closed. You don't want to do that. Now, how the Spirit spoke to Paul, we're not sure. Some Bible teachers believe that it was through his thorn in the flesh, his physical infirmity. Remember, we talked about this earlier. It could have been, his thorn in the flesh could have been his eye disease, or maybe migraine headaches that came as a result of malaria he could contracted on his previous journey. We're not quite sure, but there was some physical ailment from which Paul suffered. And this may have determined where he was able to go. He sought out drier climates so that the symptoms would subside. That's why he kept pushing west. You know, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit sometimes guides us through an illness, through something that's beyond our control. I remember after high school, I wanted to play college basketball. But that summer, I came down with mononucleosis. Sapped me of my strength. You know, really ended my career. And at the time, I was pretty bummed out by the whole deal. But now I thank God for the setback. He used it to redirect my life toward ministry. I mean, think about it. If it hadn't have been for that, I'd now be a retired NBA millionaire instead of your pastor. How tragic would that be? I would much rather be your pastor than a retired millionaire, NBA millionaire. So, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. It says, no going south, no going north. So he keeps heading west. He ends up in Troas. Troas was a port on the Aegean Sea. It was the last stop west before crossing over onto the continent of Europe. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Macedonia included the cities of Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. When Paul obeys the vision, for the first time, the gospel will come to Europe. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now remember, when God closes one door, it's only to open another. This is what he's doing with Paul. We just have to wait sometimes, shake off our desires in order to tune into God's vision. Notice also, though, the change of pronoun in verse 10. Notice suddenly Luke starts writing in the first person. In verse 10, he says, we sought to go to Macedonia. Apparently, Dr. Luke joined Paul and his pals in Troas. Perhaps it was to treat Paul's illness, his thorn in the flesh. Luke was a doctor. He also accompanied him to Macedonia. Some Bible students believe that Luke was the man from Macedonia that appeared in Paul's vision. It's possible. Well, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, which was about 150 miles northwest of Troas. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Now, Philippi was 10 miles inland from Neapolis. Some people believe that Philippi was Luke's hometown because of, and here's why, because of the glowing terms he uses to describe the city. Notice again in verse 12, he calls Philippi the foremost city of that part of Macedonia. Could have been his hometown. That's why he spoke of it as the foremost city.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Sandy Adams Radio. Pastor Sandy has been teaching through the book of Acts. As the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent out across the world, all of a sudden, the message of Jesus went international. Prior to Jesus' death and resurrection, a relationship with God was mostly only available to Jewish people. But the gift of forgiveness that Jesus brought to the world is available to all of mankind. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord and asks for forgiveness will be saved. The apostles all understood their mission, spread the good news to the corners of the earth. Generations of missionaries have carried that mission onward for nearly 2,000 years since. What about you? What will your impact be in the world around you? To gain more inspiration from these teachings, you can listen to additional messages on our website, sandyadams.org. Pastor Sandy is the lead pastor at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. While you're there, you can find books authored by Pastor Sandy, as well as an online archive of years of teaching from Pastor Sandy, covering every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider giving to support this ministry as it continues to reach people across the country beyond the four walls of our church building. Be sure to tune in again to Sandy Adams Radio.